life.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
The one, the only, Jim Moseley, editor of Saucer Smear. And we're talking about UFO researcher Stan Friedman, who now will never come on the Paracast again after we've attacked him mercilessly. But it's Jim's fault, Stan. Jim did it. I didn't
know it. Yeah, we'll blame it on Jim.
Everything is Jim's fault. But the key point here, Jim, that maybe we should point out, is that any scientist of note who was prominent in the 50s and 60s and 70s and was middle-aged or beyond probably was involved in some kind of government program during World War II. Nothing unusual about that.
Oh, sure. And I brought this up with Friedman just recently. We've been going back and forth on...
This has been going on for 35 years, this debate.
Huh?
This debate has been going on for decades.
Well, this particular little point has been going on for a few months, and I've had a couple of letters in Smear from Friedman on this subject. But I thought I had Friedman into a corner because I said, how could it be if he knew about Roswell and so on, and he knew as a fact then that saucers are interplanetary and they have landed here, why would he go out of his way after the war and so on and for many years? I don't remember just how many books he wrote, but 3, 4, or 5, debunking saucers. Wouldn't he at least not bother to do that since he knew the truth? And Friedman won't go for that either. Oh, sure. If he was under orders, Friedman's big thing is that Menzel could keep a secret better than anyone else. And he had a security check at some point in the 40s, I guess, and he passed it with flying colors because everybody agreed that he could absolutely keep a secret. So we have to believe that not only did he keep perfectly the secret of his knowledge about Roswell and so forth, but he went out of his way to lie in all these books. And that just seems contrary to human nature.
Oh, that's a good point, Jim. I mean, why would somebody...
I don't know if there's any listeners out there, but when...
Well, there's going to be a lot of listeners, boy.
Anytime you're on the show, we were both waiting
for each other to chime in, but you make a good point, Jim. Why would somebody, you know, have an emotional breakdown on the air, being so vehement about his non-belief in UFOs, coming up with ridiculous explanations like, oh, many people think they see UFOs because they have a little dust mote in their eye or there's some moisture in their eye.
Yeah.
And he came up with some of the most ludicrous explanations to explain UFOs. Why would somebody who is being listed as one of the inside guys in MJ-12, why would he spend a lifetime debunking the subject so vehemently? It doesn't make sense.
Well, let me tell you something else. Here is one bit of research that on this that I don't think anybody else did, but I might be wrong. In his latter years, it appears that Menzel's closest friend was a retired psychiatrist in Boston named Ernest Taves, T-A-V-E-S, who had a doctorate, of course. He was a psychiatrist. And somehow I got hold of Taves, this is quite a few years ago, and I got a couple of letters. I don't remember if we talked on the phone, too. We probably did. But I got a couple of letters from him, and the gist of it was that he, in Menzel's latter years, that he, Taves, was his best friend, and they shared everything with each other, and he knew Menzel very, very well. He could have been exaggerating, but he very specifically told me that the idea that Menzel secretly knew that saucers were real, etc., is absolutely impossible. It would be contrary to Menzel's nature. And furthermore, according to Taves, if he had been, let's say, a witness or whatever to Roswell and if he knew what happened there, he might be willing to go along with the secrecy for a couple of months or so. But when he saw the government was going to keep such a universally important thing secret indefinitely, then he would have spoken up. Now, that's Tavis's opinion. It doesn't prove anything. But if what he's saying is true, that makes Friedman's stuff all wrong. But Friedman comes right back. Oh, he never told Hayes because he didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell his wife or his family or anybody else. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't make sense to me. I think most debunkers, once they've made up their mind, I think they have the personality type or profile where the blinders go up and the curtain comes down, and anytime the subject comes up, it's like flashing a red cape in front of a bull. They just mindlessly go after it, and they get to a certain point in their process where they're almost robotic. They go on autopilot.
It was odd to see that a man with his education, obviously he was a brilliant man, or he wouldn't have been able to accomplish such things in his career that he did. But it just seems strange what a mental block he had on the subject of saucers. And very briefly, one time in the 50s, I was down in Miami at the time that something flew over Miami. It sounds like it could have been a meteor, let's say possibly a meteor, but something very bright crossed the whole sky. It was seen by everybody. It was in the papers. And I happened to be there at that time. I didn't see it, but I read in the newspaper that Menzel was in Miami at some kind of a meeting, and I got hold of him on the phone, and I asked him what this thing was, and no one knows this but me, so therefore I could be making it up, but I swear to you what he told me on the phone was it was light reflecting on a cobweb. And I said, but you see, this went over the whole city. It was seen by everyone that looked up. How could it be that he, and he repeated, he said, no, that's what it was. It was light reflecting on a cobweb. And then I knew the man was insane. And I can say that because he did. And
his estate's not going to come suing anybody. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a lawyer looking for some work, and wish to sue somebody, I don't have any money. Chris said he sent his last check to his ex-wife from Finland 50,000 years ago. So he doesn't have any money either. Jim, I don't know if he has any, but don't sue us.
Right. So anyway, that's all having to do with the point that we made, which was a very good point. Friedman never backs down.
No,
order
no, no.
Him. I mean, his case for Menzel having been in MJ-12, if it existed, is so weak. I mean, it's weaker than the Aztec case, but he will not back down or admit he could have been wrong. I've never seen him admit he was wrong. You're absolutely right.
Just to put a contrast here, Jim, have you ever admitted you were wrong?
Oh, quite a few times. And there are even more times when I was wrong and didn't admit it. Let me just tell you right now, I have been wrong so often that it's pathetic. I have had as Gary Clark said about me, and it's one of the unpleasant things he has said about me that I have to agree with completely. And I think it's in one of his encyclopedias. He says, Jim has had every possible view over the years, Jim has had every possible view about what flying saucers are, but in none of those periods did he add anything significant to our knowledge. I think he's pretty close on that. Yes, I certainly have had to back down, and I'm still in the process, by the way, to get semi-serious. As I get older here, and I am very rapidly getting older, I feel much older now than I did when this program started.
But, and if we keep going, you'll feel 10 years older by the end.
But I really am changing my views more and more to the point which Raleigh and many others reached long ago, that this is a real phenomenon, but it probably has nothing to do with things coming in from other planets.
And I'll tell you what, before we get taken to another planet, by our sponsors complaining about us and our inattention to detail, we'll pay attention to this with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMics.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMics.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMics.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMics.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMics.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMics.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris and the Paracast, we've got the one, the only, the legendary Jim Moseley. So legendary that he's now going to tell you how you can get yourself a real, genuine, physical copy of Saucer Smear, Jim?
Yeah, Saucer Smear is easy to get by mail. I'm old-fashioned. I'm not on the Internet in any way that I know of. But you can write to me or just anybody in general at P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida 33041. And I will be glad to send you a free sample copy, and then we'll go on from there. And if I can get a few dollars out of you, I will be glad to do so.
That's all it takes. Send some money, and Jim will send you anything he can send.
Yep.
But mostly it'll be in the form of copies of Saucer Smear.
So anyway, I don't think there has ever been a saucer crash. I say crash anywhere. That's my latest view.
Okay, so you're saying there's a reason, there's some explanation.
Well,
that will satisfy anyone or any of these crash cases, alleged crash cases. It will satisfy the explanation that they're not something that involved E.T.
There's several points here. If people or whoever, whatever, from other planets are as advanced as we think they are, or if creatures from another dimension or whatever it is, if they're highly advanced as they seem to be, why do they have to crash occasionally just because our aircraft crash occasionally? In other words, if they're supposedly hundreds, thousands, or millions of years ahead of us and they still crash, I mean, that's like saying they never grow up. They just have a mind like a baby for their whole life. I mean, it makes no sense at all. So I would assume that if these things are as advanced as they seem to be, I don't think they crash. But I do think they have landed voluntarily a number of times, but in less spectacular cases. Nothing as fantastic or classic or whatever you want to call it as Roswell or Aztec or whatever. There's been, as you know, both of you, there have been over the years, not much in recent years, but through the 40s, through the 70s, I would say, dozens, I don't know how many dozens of cases where some small craft comes down to Earth. In many of these cases, there's one, two, three, four witnesses nearby, but never a whole bunch of people. And the creatures come out of the craft, and they each and every time look somewhat different from the last time. They never look the same. The saucer never looks the same. But they, you have to say that probably most of these people are telling the truth, and that something landed. But it landed, and then it takes off. And that's why not too many people actually see it, because you don't know when and where this very rare type of thing will happen. As you probably both know, or we could all remember together, when I lived up in New Jersey, which I did up until 1983, there was an incident, I believe it was 1974, it might have been 1975, in which a saucer came down in a city park right in the town next to the town that I lived in. It was just a mile or two from where I lived.
Now, I feel, by the way, this is a Bud Hopkins story that's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear the whole thing.
Well, that's interesting you say a Bud Hopkins story. But Bud Hopkins lived in Greenwich Village. He just died recently. I don't say he was a drunk or anything, but he was a regular patron at a certain liquor store in Greenwich Village. And I'm not sure if it was the night manager or the owner, or possibly both, was a man named George Obarski, who Hopkins knew quite well because he went in there quite often. And apparently, according to the story, Obarski didn't tell anybody publicly about this incident for, I would say, it sounds like 5 or 6 months until after the incident happened. And eventually, he told it to Hopkins because I suppose they were friends or whatever. And then Hopkins made it public. And so nobody heard about it until quite a bit later. But eventually it was in the newspapers, and TV crews went out to interview Obarski. And I interviewed him also because he certainly was easy to find. He seemed to be sincere, but who knows? He was driving home after the night shift at the liquor store one night, and he took, you could say, a shortcut. There's a little park there called North Hudson Park, which is very familiar to the people in those towns right around there, because it would have to be. So he saw a object come down, I think silently, which most of them do, and it either hovered very close to the ground or landed on the ground, maybe a number of yards in front of him, but he could see it well enough to see several creatures start out, small creatures. I don't remember offhand just what they looked like. But this has happened before, but I always get a kick out of this. Each of these little guys had a bucket and a little shovel, and they took soil samples. sounds like there were about six or eight of these.
How come they always do that, Jim? They always take soil samples and look at flowers and rocks like they've never seen them before. It's just doesn't make sense.
When they land on a river, they have a hose to get water from the river. I mean, they do very peculiar things, which, again, is part of my new way of looking at all this. It's all show. It could be some advanced kind of hologram or something. These are not the real people or the real saucers, but, I mean, people see what they claim to have seen, but that doesn't mean that that's the real thing.
It's like you're watching a movie that it's being looped.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very good analogy. We are grown up, and we know when we see a movie that the people are not really there. It's just a screen with a light on it and so forth. But, you know, what can I say? It's something that we just don't understand. It's beyond our comprehension, and I don't think we'll get an answer until quite a few years into the future, which will be too late for most of us. But anyhow, it's something that we should look forward
to. Let's go back to the case. Okay, so they're taking soil samples.
Yeah, that's it. And then they got back in the craft and they left.
Now, you had some kind of interactions there with Bud Hopkins over the years that started with this particular case.
Well, the funny thing is, at that time, Hopkins either had not yet gotten into abduction research or was just starting in abduction research. The only case that I know of, or that other people seem to know about, that other than abductions, that Hopkins got involved with was this, and this had nothing to do with abductions. How he was involved with this case, beside hearing it from the guy who was the witness, he somehow took charge of the case. More or less, you had to go through Hopkins in order to talk to Lebarsky. Now, that wasn't literally true. I just went and saw Lebarsky on my own. I don't know if he really had to talk to Hopkins about it, but Lebarsky told me that Hopkins owns the case or something.
Okay, Hopkins owns the case. This is getting fascinating. We have Jim Moseley joining us, editor of Saucer Smear with Gene. And Chris, we own this show. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The man who predicted the fall of communism is now predicting the fall of capitalism. He's dined with the Rockefellers, hung out with the Clintons, banged heads with the Beltway, and inspired companies, movements, and empires that have brought forth revolutionary change. He sat shoulder to shoulder with figures like George Bush Sr., Steve Forbes, Margaret Thatcher, and Boris Yeltsin, to name but a few. And his volume of work set out his groundbreaking financial newsletter, Strategic Investment, was so far ahead of its time, it helped transform not just the fates and fortunes of thousands of investors, but also the fates and and fortunes of entire nations. For the first time in 17 years, he's back once again with his first controversial video presentation. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch him reveal a landmark development, which he believes will set off the most violent economic reversal in history, one that carries the power to bring down the entire capitalist system. Go to fallofcapitalism.com to watch his controversial video before the powers that be wipe it from the internet. Again, it's www.fallofcapitalism.com.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Jim Moseley, and we're going to find out why, if anyone knows, Bud Hopkins tells Jim Moseley, or the message is conveyed to Jim Moseley, that Bud Hopkins owns this case.
Well, I'm not sure in what way he meant that. Maybe Hopkins wanted to get in on whatever money was made, I'm not sure, but the guy himself told me, I never spoke to Hopkins about this or anything else. I only had one phone conversation with Hopkins in my life, and it was very brief and unpleasant, which is another long story.
Well, how about making it a short story after this story?
A short story after this story. Well, actually, it ties in with this story, so we'll just go on. Jim Beckley, who we all know, lives in New York City, and of course, that's not too far from where this landing happened also. And I believe it was 1 year exactly after the thing happened, which would be maybe 6 months after it was made public. Beckley decided to cash in on this in his own way, and he staged a ridiculous happening in this little park near where I live, where he was, what was he doing? He brought in a psychic from Canada, I believe. I don't remember the man's name. And they had a seance in the park, and they were going to try to bring back in some form these little men that had landed there months before. It was absolutely absurd. But since I lived so nearby, Beckley asked me if he and some friends of his couldn't use my apartment as their headquarters in this afternoon and evening that they were doing all this stuff. And I said, sure. And it turned out that nobody had called Hopkins, which I don't know if I tied this in with the idea of Hopkins owning the case, but it seemed odd to me that Hopkins was somewhat known And I guess by that time he was known as a abduction researcher. And I said, was anybody called Hopkins about this? And they hadn't. And looking back, maybe they just didn't want to. So I said, well, I'm going to call him. And I just got his name in the phone book and told him about this. And he got absolutely furious. I mean furious. He said, this is what got me. And it's almost his exact words. He said, if you don't get those people out of your apartment right now, I will see to it that you never publish anything again for the rest of your life. And I said, well, Mr. Hopkins, you know, I was just trying to be courteous because they hadn't called you about this, and I thought I would, so let's forget it. And that's, after that, we never spoke to each other. And I did get things published, so screw him. I'm still mad. And
It sounds like this is what keeps you awake at night, worrying about the ghost of Bud Hopkins coming your way.
Yes.
But so, seriously speaking, I mean, you know, I had interactions with Bud Hopkins over the years. He seemed like a very pleasant person. So evidently something about you and he made it oil and water.
Well, he's an artist of sorts, is what he really is. He's not a scientist or anything like it, and he probably doesn't even claim to be. But his background is in art, and our artists tend to be emotional more than rational, we could say. And so he had a emotional hang-up about me, and maybe I'm more of an artist than a scientist also. So we saw each other at conventions once in a while. The best time was he saw me walking by a little area of a living room, or what we say, lobby of a motel, and he was sitting with some fans and talking to them, and I was walking by with my camera. And he gave me the finger as I walked by, and I didn't get it fast enough. He did that so that I would take a picture of him giving me the finger. But I panicked and figured that the next thing he's going to do is jump up and hit me or something. So I missed the opportunity. I just kept walking. But that's how well he felt about me later. And then still later, I met him again with Jerry Clark, who was a very close friend of Hopkins, and he made a genuine effort to get us to make up. And we shook hands very rigidly or something, and I could hear Hopkins just before he walked up to shake hands with me. He said, you know, I don't even know what all this is about. I have no idea why I'm shaking hands. So, I mean, it didn't do any good, but Clark tried that. So, anyway, this was his case, and it's the only case that I know of that he was interested in that didn't have to do with abduction.
Now, there have been reports around the world of other so-called crashes. In Brazil, for example, it's supposed to be fairly major, like the Brazilian Roswell.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. When did it happen?
Virginia,
Okay, so
a really good case. I think it was 96, supposed crash of an object and a number of small kind of ant-like creatures with red eyes, I think spikes on their spines, that one of them, I think, or two of them was captured by some firemen. Supposedly a fireman was killed.
What were they, about 3 or 4 feet tall or something?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And supposedly one of them escaped and was seen some months later in and around
one of them. Didn't they take one of them to a hospital or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And supposedly NASA personnel were notified and came down. I spoke at length with John Carpenter right after he got back from investigating the case. I think it occurred while he was down there, or maybe it was John Mack, I think, may have been down there at the time. Very interesting case. I did look into it.
Yeah, well, now that you mentioned it, I've heard of it, and I know. It didn't have as much detail or even as much superficial credibility as let's say Roswell, as far as I could tell. But I never really knew that much about it. What can I say? Did anybody examine the craft? I mean, I don't think they ever found the craft, did they?
This is the official Wikipedia response. I'll just read it. The Brazilian government officially denies that anything unusual occurred, but some theorists have charged that there was a cover-up, and Kevin Randall is quoted as saying, this is in Wikipedia, that the case is as complicated as any other in the UFO field. So there you go.
Okay. And that's it?
Well, it's a long entry. I'm just giving you a couple of highlights.
Oh, it goes on, yeah.
I mean, you're never online, so you have to look at, say, a two-page entry.
Yeah, well, I can imagine Randall saying that. Randall is...
Okay, we're going to attack somebody else, ladies and gentlemen. So take down your pad and paper. And now the next target after Jim have gone off against Frank Scully and Silas Newton and Bud Hopkins and Stanton T. Friedman, the next victim, Kevin Randall. Kevin, if you're ready, Jim Ousley's after you, man.
Well, not really.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
And Kevin's a good guy. He's very opinionated.
I was just going to say that I think he loses his objectivity completely when it comes to Roswell. But on other subjects, we agree on several different things. He is strangely against abductions, and I'm not sure why. He really takes a complete skeptical view about it, that they're all misinterpretations of just natural mental things and so on, that they have nothing to do with saucers. And I don't agree with that. I don't know anything much about abductions. I don't think Hopkins did either, or any of these people. They never really understood it, and I certainly don't. But something is going on, and I would imagine, that just as a educated guess, that some intelligence of whatever sort is playing with these people's minds. I don't think little men just walk through walls and come and visit these people in bed. I don't think that happens at all. But there is an outside force that is causing this. It's not just imagination or mental illness or anything like that. There's
we have another hidden secret force that's going to attack us if we don't do this. And in case you're wondering about future episodes of the PowerCast, upcoming we have Greg Bishop. We also have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who has a new book to discuss with us. We have Jim Ousley of Saucer Smear with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I live in my car, sometimes a rental car. Every day, I find a nice quiet place to pull over and meet a client through WebEx, face to face on my smartphone. This is the way to do business.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco, WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
86-2237. Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're back with Jim Moseley in the process of attacking everybody in the UFO field he can in the course of a three-hour session. But seriously speaking, okay, with abductions, something
this
is going on.
Two hours, isn't it?
Well, it's 2 hours for you, 3 hours for listeners, because they have to hear the commercials and the news.
Oh, but I only have to put up with this for 2 hours.
Right? That's right. I hope you feel better. Okay,
all
but
right,
seriously
I
speaking,
feel
all
good.
Seriousness aside, Jim. All right, so you feel that abductions have some outside force. What about sleep paralysis in some cases? You know, you're almost awake.
Oh, I'm sure of that in some cases, yeah. I had an experience which really ties in with nothing, but before I ever heard of saucers, when I was a kid, maybe about 15, and I was in an old, what would we say, not a guest house, but let's say an old hotel that I guess had been built before the turn of the century, and they still had these high ceilings with transoms. You know what a transom is? It's like a door type thing. You can either close it or open it. At the top of, it would be just around the ceiling somewhere. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A transom.
Yeah, I know what a transom is, yeah.
All right, well, good. Speak up. Don't fall asleep. Come on.
I'm wide awake, boy, with you on the air, boy. This is fun for me.
I was sleeping, and it was, I remember, it was daylight, so it must have been in the morning, and I would have been getting up soon anyhow, I suppose. Well, I heard somebody speaking, obviously, out in the hall. I think I realized that it was a real voice from the hall. I didn't think it was a ghost or something. But the words that they said, and I don't remember exactly, something about you will be going soon or you won't be here long, which obviously was just a part of a normal conversation. But I heard that little part of it, and the wording frightened me, and so I wanted to wake up in a hurry. I guess I was still half asleep when I heard that, and I couldn't move. I was absolutely paralyzed, and I started to panic, obviously. But then it occurred to me, of course I can move. All I'm doing is just tightening up my muscles. I'm not doing the normal thing that you would do if you want to move. So now that I realize that, I'll just move. And I did. and so that's something like sleep paralysis or something.
You notice, Jim, how after Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, came out, all of a sudden everybody and their next-door neighbor's, cousin's, boss and wife were getting abducted. And you had this huge upsurge of claims of abduction cases all through the end of the 80s into the 90s. And you'll notice, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but claims of abductions have fallen off almost to negligible numbers recently.
Well, it's just like these little landings that I was trying to talk about. There were, in 1954, for instance, there were probably a couple of dozen of them just in France, and there were others in other parts of Europe. There's a very good one in the new issue of Open Mind, which I'm stealing from the new issue of Saucer Smear. But the point here is these things seem to go in waves. The close-up sightings that I'm talking about, where the thing lands and creatures get out and a few people see it, that stuff pretty well stopped about 1980. And I don't know, you can probably think of something somewhere, but that wave or that type of thing just doesn't happen anymore. All the classic cases like that, Hopkinsville, for instance, comes to mind, just so many of them. There was, what was it, Brush Creek, California, some miner saw a strange-looking creature running around, and that was back in the 50s, I think. Those things don't happen anymore. And so you're saying, yeah, I suppose I don't follow it very much. The abduction cycle is dying out. And what does it all mean? I don't know. Carl Flock, who is, of course, no longer with us, his theory was rather simplistic. He thought that the space people had come to visit us and to explore and whatever else they wanted to do. And they did what they wanted to do over a period of years, and then they had finished their survey, and so they left. But I think that's absolutely not true. That's whatever was going on is going on. It seems to take different forms, but I think...
So we have waves of landings, waves of alleged crashes, waves of abductions. Of course, abductions, you know, I'd be happy for the people who have unusual encounters, real frightening ones of that sort, for those things not to happen. And if they're stopping, that's great. Whether it's ET or some outside force, that's really good news. Chris, you have a couple of questions from our audience that maybe you want to stick in somewhere here.
You have an audience? I didn't know.
I'm not sure what to make of this, but this comes from Sentry, who's one of our real steady posters at forum.theparacast.com. Bright guy. And he has three questions. The first one is, have you heard what Antonio Huneas has been saying about you? Now, Antonio was on our show last week, and I don't recall him saying anything about you.
Well, he and I are funny. I talked to him on the phone a couple of days ago. He and I are close friends. I can't imagine him. Oh, wait a minute. He may have told me what it was. It didn't sound very harmful. What was it? I don't remember.
You knew because somebody, it was news to me. I hadn't heard anything.
Look, you guys heard that show because you were on it, and I wasn't. So what is it he said already?
Jim, did Antonio say anything about Jim?
Very briefly in passing, but nothing that would be unfavorable.
Well, that's what I would think. So this question makes no sense.
He's a big fan of yours, so I'm not sure what to make of that question. Anyway, sorry, Sentry, we couldn't help you with that.
Anyway, no, I think... while we're on that subject, Antonio is one of the most factual, meticulous researchers that exists.
Yes.
And he does not exaggerate or make things up or go along with nonsense. And he does sort of make a living out of the UFO field. But the proof that he's honest is that he's been almost starving about half of the time in the last 20 years or so, because he hasn't written crazy books, and he does get invited to lecture sometimes at conventions, but because he's not a top star, he doesn't get very much money for it. So the moral is, you know, be like Friedman, don't be like Antonio.
Well, Antonio is one of the most impressive researchers that I personally have worked with over the years. He has a width and breadth of knowledge in terms of the history of the more obscure time periods, in terms of the Middle Ages, pre-Columbian accounts from Mesoamerica, and just an amazing steel trap, photographic recall. Just amazing how well versed he is in this field.
open mind. I get it, on exchange. It took like a lot of doing. Even knowing Antonio, it took some work to get on this exchange. But it's an interesting magazine and very slick and well done, but some of the stories, no doubt, are much more authentic than others. But the ones under his byline, he's one of two or three of the editors there, if it has his byline, it's as true as you can make it. And if it has some of the other bylines, it might not be true at all. I have no idea. But in the new issue that just came out of Open Mind, there is a rehash by Antonio of a case of a landing in a small village in France in 1967, I think. And this is the one, I'd heard of it before, but I didn't remember much about it. This is the one in which two children are herding cattle for their family. And they see four small creatures looking at them from behind a hedge or something. And their first thought that these were children that had come to play with them. I like that. And then they saw there was a big sphere-type craft behind the four creatures. And the four creatures naturally were about 4 feet tall, and they looked very strange. And they acted very strange, and they took off in their craft. Maybe that's the one thing that's not mentioned, how long this was going on. Probably less than 5 minutes. And that's a very typical landing case among the ones that are not really famous. And it's done up very, very nicely by Antonio in that particular magazine. He also goes into a lot of detail. There were several official and semi-official investigations of this case in France and elsewhere, and nobody could ever find a flaw in it. I mean, even the skeptics said, well, you know, we don't know what this was. They didn't say it's a landing by space people. They said we can't explain it.
Well, at least that's a good start to say, at least we can't explain it. It's not swamp gas or something like that. Jim Mosley is not swamp gas, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He is the editor of Saucer Smear. He's on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. And order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. Or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.